As we have seen in just a two-year period, through his erratic and bizarre political involvements, Blandon had managed to antagonize and lose the support of the Sanborn business community. And they stopped their advertising revenues, and as a result, Blandon lost the paper, too. And that was to be such an important thing for him, was going to set a whole new life and direction in place. But it's gone. He's lost it. Well, at least he hasn't lost all the money that he had involved in it, and he was able to get something from its sale, too. So, after leaving the operation in Sanborn, Blandon and his family moved 40 miles north to Olivia in Renville County. Like Sanborn, Olivia was set amidst and dependent upon rich and fertile agricultural lands. Due to a tree-planting Scandinavian settler, the town was known for its shady, tree-lined streets extending into the countryside. Olivia, set apart from the usual bare little prairie towns, was described by one early resident as a beautiful tree-shaded bower, and by another as the park city of the prairie. There, Blandon continued his career as a newspaper publisher. The first edition of his Olivia Weekly Press appeared in October of 1894. Blandon's experience in Olivia was quite different from that of Sanborn because Olivia already had a successful weekly newspaper. The Renville Times boasted a very large subscription list and a healthy advertising patronage. Despite the competition of Blandon's weekly, editor Kelsey of the Times wished success to you, Brother Blandon, and described the first issue of the weekly press as neatly gotten up and starting out with a fair show of patronage. Blandon was the editor of that paper for 5 years. The Minnesota Historical Society has preserved copies of it, and therefore, for the first time, we can get a good look at what Blandon is doing with his papers. I found his writing to be always clear and concise. The style and content of his pages demonstrate that his self-achieved education provided him not only with a good command of English, but also with broad interests and a grasp of the political and economic issues of the day. Look at a few brief samples of Blandon's writing in this paper. He always appreciated a humorous approach and often used that, and often used his own experience as a base for it. He wrote, "Editing a paper is a nice business. If we publish jokes, people say we're rattle-headed. If we don't, we're an old fossil. If we publish original matter, they say we don't give them enough selections. If we don't, we're lazy. If we compliment the ladies, the men are jealous. If we don't, we're publishing a paper not fit to make a bustle of. If we remain in our office, we're too proud to mingle with the common herd. If we're on the streets, we're not attending to our business. If we don't go to church, we're heathens. And if we go, we are hypocrites. If we wear poor clothes, business is dull. If we wear good clothes, we don't pay for them. Someone is going to ask, where did you get this material? Well, I stole it." And a few comments from Blandon. "A Texas woman has started in business as an undertaker. What will they undertake to do next?" And he certainly doesn't think much of pawn shops because he's had his experience with them. "Burglars plundered a pawn shop in St. Paul recently and secured $700 in valuables. The old saying that there is honor among thieves doesn't appear to hold true in this instance." And while he is very careful in his opinions and weighs his material carefully, he certainly can fall into some of the traps of the day, too. And one of the big ones of those was the ferociously anti-Spanish yellow journalism. And he fell right into that trap. He writes with passion here, "The greatest indignation is felt because of the uncivilized action of the Spanish during the siege of Santiago." And incidentally, Blandon and Greenway would never know one another. Their time period doesn't cross in Grand Rapids. But here's Greenway down there fighting in that battle as Blandon is writing this. "At any rate, during that siege, firing upon wounded men lying upon litters in the charge of men wearing the emblem of the Red Cross, recognized by all civilized nations. This was done not just once, but repeatedly occurred, leaving not the slightest doubt of its being intentional." And of course, it was something that never happened, but was typical of the stories that were being circulated. But he says it also adds to the indignation to know that the Spaniards were unprincipled enough to take advantage of our recognition of the Red Cross flag to hoist it over masked batteries so that their gunners could shoot down our men without danger of being shot themselves. It seems hard to have to fight such a foe fairly, but we have to do it. We cannot afford to become savages because the Spaniards are savages. It is their nature. Their whole history is one long record of savagery and treachery, a record blacker than that of any other nation that makes the slightest pretense of being civilized. Yeah, he's in keeping with what was in so many newspapers there. But he goes on from there in the same issue to write a very interesting explanation of more progressive farming techniques that were based around farmers raising not just one crop, but diversifying into more. In an editorial, Blondin stated, while the weekly press is independent in politics, boy, he sure needed to establish that after what happened in Sanborn. He says, we feel it is our duty to speak plainly, in some cases, especially in anything touching on national affairs. And his writings and editorials, as mentioned, frequently do deal with topics of national and international scope. In another editorial responding to a rival editor, who had concluded that the weekly press is either a populist or a democratic sheet, Blondin explained that it was neither. Rather, he said, in local matters, the weekly press believes that personal qualifications are paramount compared to party affiliations, and that the central concern should be to support capable and honest men. So independent Blondin certainly did not repeat in Renville County the activist political involvement that had created such a stir in Sanborn. He didn't back away from strong stands on a wide variety of issues, but he was not, again, a self-made center of controversy. When two prominent local journalists wrote and edited a long county history in 1916, they didn't even mention Blondin's name in the section dealing with newspapers, and they referred to the weekly press only in connection with a later editor. Blondin did continue participating in community affairs, as he had in Sanborn, where he'd served as village recorder. In Olivia, he was elected Justice of the Peace. He was active on a board of trade fostering the town's economic development, and he also held office in a county association of newspaper publishers. Despite the fact that his newspaper was doing well and that he had found a fulfilling life in the pleasant town of Olivia, Blondin decided to give up journalism in order to pursue other business interests. And in January of 1899, he sold the weekly press. In a farewell editorial, Blondin stated that he had endeavored to give the people of Olivia and Renville County a representative and lively local paper. He thanked the many friends of Olivia and Renville County for past favors and praised the abilities of the paper's new publisher editor. 2.5 years later, in 1901, the weekly press ceased publication. The new editor of the town's other newspaper rather gleefully printed a front-page story proclaiming that the Olivia Weekly Press had not had staying power. Well, Blondin never regretted his years as a small-town publisher. In that address he gave to the Minnesota Editorial Association in 1927, Blondin said that the country newspaper exerted a powerful influence upon the lives and habits of our people and brought statesmen and politicians to calculate how their actions will be received by the country press, thereby governing themselves to cause as little adverse criticism as possible. I am proud to say, he commented, that whatever success in life has come to me, I owe to early experience in a country newspaper office. And he concluded, there's no better training that a young person can obtain than in the rough-and-tumble fight that goes with country newspapers. Well, after selling the Olivia Weekly Press, Blondin returned to Wisconsin, and there he entered the produce business in Manitowoc. And exactly what that business was or what intrigued him about it, I don't know. He never talked about it. He never made any comment about it in future times. But whatever his motivation for change, again, his endeavors were not successful. In 1902, when the paper mill in Grand Rapids was just beginning production. Blandin was 30 years old. He had various experience and a great deal of ambition, but no money. He had found no niche in life, and he had no particular prospects for any permanent career. Deciding to seek larger opportunities, Blandin moved back to Minnesota. So isn't that something? 30 years old, and here we are, just at an absolute standstill. And we have to think that it's only 14 years down the line now that Blandin is going to buy the Itasca Paper Company. So there's got to be something coming with some big change in it. And next time, let's look at where Blandin goes next.